As the pandemic was taking shape, many Americans began going to the supermarket more frequently, to the point that shelves that typically held soap, toilet paper, and non-perishables were near empty. There was worrying, and there was a demand to fix the supply chain so that we could buy the goods we wanted and needed. That dynamic contributed to grocery employees being newly categorized as essential employees. In his new book, The Secret Life of Groceries, The Dark Miracle of the American Supermarket, Benjamin Lohr looks into what makes the whole system possible, pandemic or not. Our co-host Steve Goldstein spoke with Lohr and began by asking how COVID affected the perception of supermarkets and their employees.
COVID provided this kind of great awakening that is very similar to the one that I went through in my book, where people realized just how deeply dependent we are on these stores and their workers. And for me, this happened in a variety of ways, but as long as I can remember, walking into a grocery store has been a powerfully odd, almost hallucinogenic experience at times. Like you get this sense of these saturated colors and, you know, it can be almost relaxing and, you know, feeling like there's some type of ease and reassurance of perusing the aisles at the same time that there's this like power that they're kind of radiating out of, like the American project or the human project. So I guess I've always been drawn to grocery stores. I like going to them when I travel far field, and I like going to them when I come back home.
Do you think, and did you think this before you did all your research and all your interviews, that the average American, whatever that means now, is spoiled because there are so many supermarket choices? There are so many, like, you know, if I go to buy a bag of lettuce and the date is only 3 days from now, I want it to be 10 days from now because I want to use this for as long as I want to. What is wrong with this place? I mean, I'm exaggerating, but is there the feeling that we go into stores and we just expect everything now as Americans, and that we don't even think about all the things it takes to get it there, and then maybe we should be a little more grateful for the choices we have?
Yeah, I think that's a profound point. It gets to the heart of what that power and the miracle of walking down those aisles is. The abundance, convenience, choice, and high quality combined with really low prices that Americans get at their grocery stores. Americans spend less of their money on food than any other country in the world is incredible. And it comes because the store is bending on both knees, down on both knees to serve the consumer. Frankly, there is a lot of hidden sacrifice into that service. And it comes because from the checkout counter on down, people are asking for these qualities, and they're not necessarily qualities that mesh together. They sometimes are high quality and low price are at odds.
When you talk about the sacrifices, are there a couple of different angles to this that stood out for you more than others? Obviously, in writing the book, so much of it did, but the people we don't know about or the jobs we don't know about?
I think my eyes were probably widened the most in two different places. One, close to home, just the trucking industry, which is the circulatory system of our GDP, right? Everything that comes to us comes on a truck. There's something like 10 billion metric tons of goods being freighted around every year, which works out to about 350 pounds per person per day that's being brought on our behalf. So truckers are these essential components of our lives, and they're operating in this parallel world where I thought I understood what was going on, didn't have a clue. I rode around with a trucker for the book, and she was trapped in a kind of a debt peonage system that other truckers described as close to sharecropping on wheels, because the trucking industry has developed a system where they will recruit people pretty rapaciously through the promise of middle-class jobs, and then hook them through kind of student loans as they're getting their commercial driver's license, and then further loans as they pay for their own truck to become owner operators. So they then have accumulated a lot of debt that the industry wields a little like a threat, and it keeps them beholden to a single fleet, and that you must use the services in that fleet, so the legal team of that fleet or the garage of that fleet, and their paychecks become a blizzard of deductions. So the woman I rode around with estimated she grossed about $200,000 a year, and she was only taking home about $17,000 for working 70 hours a week in a state of complete vigilance. Trucking is one of the most dangerous jobs out there, has the most deaths per year of any profession, and she was extremely hardworking. She, you know, she just had this head down, plow forth attitude, and it made the situation worse because she was just working harder and harder and harder at a job that it seemed to me that she couldn't possibly win.
One of the things conceptually I find fascinating about the book is, you know, as we began at the top with the timing of it in terms of how people are viewing groceries and grocery workers as so-called essential workers. It seems like based on how you wrote the piece and how you wrote the book, you knew that, or at least you learned it along the way, that these are actually really essential workers and not just because they stock the shelves.
Yes, they are responsible for the material prosperity that I enjoy. What I think is, and I think that's an essential take home of the book, what I hate though is the moniker heroes. That I see there's a sanctimonious tendency right now during COVID to recognize how essential these workers are, but forget the fact that they aren't being paid like essential workers, and they aren't given the job security that essential workers, and they're not given the social respect that essential workers. So in retail environment right now, I worked at a Whole Foods during the book, and I certainly saw this in other places. These workers are often not given their schedules, you know, more than 3 or 4 days in advance. The schedules often vary week to week, dramatically, 40% up and down in terms of hours, which obviously leads to take-home pays that vary that much, and obviously prevents them from getting a second job that would have to schedule around a schedule that's completely unstable. So these are the qualities that you would see, and maybe there are people in our society that are on call, first responders, and we reward them with social respect and pay, and the grocery workers just aren't, and they're there because they're forced to be there because that's the job that they have. And so to call them a hero without giving them the benefits of the, you know, the social respect of the hero, it really started to rub me the wrong way.
The name of the book is The Secret Life of Groceries, The Dark Miracle of the American Supermarket, and I've been talking with Benjamin Lohr, the author of it. Benjamin, thanks so much for the time and good luck.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.